Blog Talk Radio.
Ready?
Yeah, I'm chair dancing.
Welcome to Weekly Conservative Talk Radio. My name is Tracy.
And I'm just plain Bill.
And it gets really loud, and so I stopped it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's
mm-hmm.
a good start. Gets the blood pumping.
I was chair dancing.
Should I play a little
bit
more?
Yeah, well, sure. I mean, you know, I can go back to chair dancing. That's easy.
And it's all singing and talking and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Hey, Bill, how are you?
Hey, I am doing really great.
Did you have a good weekend?
Actually, you know what? Good weekend. Yeah. Except that you read the stories. And you think about what people have gone through, and you say, "My God, you know, what people they were." Memorial Day is always kind of a bittersweet kind of a thing for me, and this year was no exception. There were just some really, really powerful images and stories that got told.
Yeah, you know, I agree. There's a certain side of me that goes, holy crap, where do we get these people?
Yep.
And then I realized that in a lot of ways, they're here.
Absolutely.
Right here, right now.
Yep.
Right here, right now, with us walking down the street, doing. Minding their own business, not planning, not doing anything, and, you know, fate
mm-hmm.
says, hey, you! Taps him on the shoulder, yanks
yep.
him in.
Yep.
You know, it's like the pilot and the plane that landed in the Hudson.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know, it's, you know, there are, you exist, you live, you know, and if at some point in time you're called, you know, it is amazing how many people can actually step up and fulfill an obligation. And I honestly believe that in most regards, it is an obligation. Who can fulfill an obligation that was never thought of, never intended.
Yep.
And even those people that serve in the military that lost their lives, you know, I was in, you were in, I mean, you know,
yep.
we didn't necessarily face, you know, the horrible choices that some people have to make. You know, choices that my nephew has made already.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a situation where, you know, I can say that I would make those right decisions.
Yeah.
And in rough situations that I've been in, generally speaking, I responded in a way that I was glad to. Not always. Sometimes I spend many weeks and nights afterwards going, I shoulda, woulda, coulda, done-a.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep.
You know?
Yep.
But my general response in the nick of a second has always been in the right direction.
Yep. And, you know, I think most people are there.
Yeah, I do. I agree. The vast majority of people, I think, are there put in that position. They simply do, and I don't want to say it's the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
They do the necessary thing.
Yes. Yep. Yep.
You know.
Anyway, it was bittersweet for me. I'm, you know, it was just like, yeah, okay.
Then
but
I go
hear...
the other way. Then then I go the other way. Then I sit there and say, you know, no matter how shitty things get, you know, we are, you know, I mean, you know, the United States government can fall, but America will not.
Nope, it will not. We will be here.
You know, the government may have all kinds of problems, but we, the people, you know, are pretty damn steadfast, you know, locked into the foundation. You know, and there's the flip side to that is that it's amazing. Yeah, some of the stories are just heart-wrenching, but at the same time, you listen to the people that talk about family members that have
mm-hmm.
these heart-wrenching stories, and there isn't anything but absolute pride in their voice.
Oh yeah,
it may be
breaking.
Absolutely, it may be terribly, you know, under stress, but pride, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
You know, absolutely. I think it's amazing.
I ran into a guy, actually overheard a conversation today in the post office. I'd gone down to get the mail and a couple of little groceries, and there was this old guy, had to be World War II, had to be. You know, there was no way that he was Korea even. And he said, you know what, I used to wear, and he was talking to another old guy who had been apparently Army, and he said, you know, I quit wearing my Air Force hat, because people would come on up and shake my hand and say thank you. And he said, you know, it just, after a while, it got embarrassing, and I just didn't want to have to deal with that anymore. And I thought to myself, yeah, you're just another one of those guys that did amazing things and maybe didn't even know that you were doing it at the time, but you guys were amazing.
Yeah, you know, and of course, even the ones that did amazing things are going to be really quick to point out, you know, no big deal.
Exactly.
You know, and,
yep.
Yeah. So, that was Memorial Day weekend.
Yep.
On the lighter side, it was, the weather here was spectacular.
Oh, boy.
Temperatures were in the mid to low 80s. With
Ooh.
Faint breezes,
yeah,
and
yeah.
clear
yeah.
blue skies.
Yeah, yeah.
We
and did
ate
you
out
get
on
the ball?
Deck. I did not.
Yeah, shit. Okay, fine.
I did not. CJ and I spent most of the weekend when we weren't putzing around. We were packing and cleaning. We were doing things we were supposed to be doing.
Yep.
So. Not quite where I want it to be, but we're there, and so, you know, that's there. It was a good weekend. It really was.
Good.
It was a
Excellent.
Necessary time off. That was good. Unfortunately, I have client work, and I'm behind on it because I should have been doing it over the weekend, and I didn't.
Uh-huh.
Tuesday, and they're going to be mad, and know that.
Oh well.
You know, I got to get it done.
Yeah.
So I, you know, we are continuing to make our plans, so that moves forward towards the end of this month. So we'll have some minor adjustments with the show for a little while that process is going on. We'll have more info as that goes on. All right, now, there were several big things that have gone on over the last week.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to talk about the one that is a little less in the news today, because I want to spend more time on that one a little bit later.
Okay.
I want to talk about the Gulf. People are talking about this is Obama's Katrina.
Hmm.
And I disagree.
Okay.
I think this is Obama's Iran hostage crisis.
Ah. With the whole day countdown and thing, huh?
Right.
Yeah.
Day 287. 27 million more barrels of oil pouring out of them. Yeah, because I think that, you know, I think that's what's going to happen is we're going to continue to sit. All right, so all the attempts to seal it off at the surface at this point, to use the well has failed.
Yep.
Next one is they're going to try and clamp on a flow preventer and see if they can get that to work. My bet is that it's going to shoot off the pipe like a rocket. that's kind of my bet.
Yeah, okay.
In the meantime, they're continuing to drill the relief well. And, I think our technology is amazing, but here's the problem. They have to drill this relief well, and they're doing it, I think it's from like 500 feet away. They've got to drill 18,000 feet down.
In addition to the 5,000 feet of ocean, right?
Right, through 5,000 feet of ocean.
Yeah.
They've got to intersect the well that currently exists approximately 18 inches above where it enters the oil reservoir. And the diameter of the well at that point is 9 inches.
Wow.
So 18,000 feet, they're coming in at an angle, they have to hit a line that's 9 inches wide, and they got to do it at 18,000 feet.
Mm.
And all I can think of is, when they drilled the tunnel between France and England, they missed.
Oh, did they really? I hadn't heard that.
Yeah, by about 30 inches.
That's cool.
So, I don't know. I certainly hope it'll be ready sometime. What amazes me is they said they've already got 6,000 feet drilled.
Uh-huh. Okay.
That's pretty fast drilling.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, now they're rushing to drill, which is, of course, what got them in the problem in the first place. So, we've got probably another 2 months, month and a half, 2 months of them drilling to get the relief well where it is. In the meantime, they play these other games that are going on. I really don't understand why they don't nuke it.
Yeah, well.
Other than the fact that Obama's got no cojones to do that.
And I don't understand that. I mean, a subkiloton charge doesn't break the surface at that depth. So I'm not exactly sure what the problem. Now, one of the problems could be this. They may not have a nuclear device that will function that deep. Because the pressures there are horrendous.
Yeah. And as people have said in many science fiction things, what's the ocean? It's 5,000 feet in the ocean. We send people to the moon. Well, that's easy.
Mm-hmm.
Space is empty.
Yeah, exactly.
From Heidelberg. The Russians have done it, so it certainly can be done.
What kind of depth did they do that at, though?
I don't think it was at 5,000 feet. I think it was probably somewhere in the vicinity of 1,000 to 2,000, I think. I had heard they had done it twice. But I also read over the weekend that they had actually done it a total of 6 times.
Oh, really? Huh.
Yeah.
Hmm.
So, and by the way, it's not sub-kiloton.
No?
No. Small ones they used were in the 4 to 5 kiloton range.
Hmm.
So, it's got a little bit of juice to it.
Mm-hmm.
In any case... The amount of damage that's being done to the Gulf, extensive.
Yes.
Hurricane season is coming up. Many people are saying it's a good thing. Many people are saying it's a bad thing because a lot of the oil, instead of getting to the surface, is pooling at certain levels. And hurricanes will pull that stuff up where it is relatively safe from the shore wave action. Hurricanes will have a tendency to pull that up. I don't know which is better. I don't know if having a hurricane is good or bad. I just know that every day that goes by, Obama, you know, has just that much more oil all over his face.
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, he said, "Oh, we've been in charge from day one," right?
Yep.
Yeah. Okay.
I like that charge, Pete.
Exactly. He's got a little oil on his face there. I'd say egg, but you know, I don't want to malign any eggs here.
So, all right. So,
yeah.
You know, I hope it gets taken care of. That's certainly my desire. I'm not interested in any politicizing in the sense that, you know, the longer this goes on, the worse it is for Obama. It's already done its damage. It's going to continue to do its damage.
Mm-hmm.
The press is going to do everything it can to try and prevent it from being, you know, too damaging to him. But the longer it goes on, the worse it is for him. I don't want it to be that way, you know, because of the amount of damage that it does. All right.
You know, what is. It's.
You know, Obama didn't do this.
No, he did not do this. What he did was stupidly take charge of it and said, "Oh yeah, we're in charge." Well, okay, now he owns it.
Now he does own it. That That part is for certain.
Yeah,
you know,
part is very for certain.
You know, BP didn't do this on purpose. BP didn't do this because it wanted to.
No.
You know, the oil industry didn't do this because it would, you know, in any way benefit from this. This is bad news. But you know, yeah, Obama owns it. He's got it. It's all his.
Yep.
So, you know, like I said, he didn't cause it, but he's continuing to let it get worse, and as long as that happens, he owns the consequences.
Yes, he does.
All right. Now,
yeah.
Have you been paying attention to what's going on in the Mediterranean?
Oh, yeah. Oh,
okay,
yeah.
Good. Okay, because there's a couple of things. One, I know the general information about what has gone on.
Okay.
And, of course, I have my opinion as to whether, you know, what's good, bad, or otherwise about it. But
mm-hmm.
if you've been paying attention, and I mean you specifically, William, if you've been
yes.
paying attention, please tell us what I'm talking about.
Well, that would be the flotilla sent by, among others, Turkey, that decided that they would try to break the blockade that Israel has on Gaza. They failed spectacularly, got 9 of their people killed. Israel screwed it up by the numbers because they did not anticipate that they would meet the kind of resistance that they did. So therefore, it spun out of control, at least as far as Israel is concerned, in terms of what's the PR? What are the visuals of this? And I had a few exchanges with some people that were obviously Gaza sympathizers that went along the lines of, that's an illegal blockade, and all they were doing was delivering toys and food and that kind of stuff. The problem is, with a blockade, it doesn't matter what they are delivering, because that's this shipment. The next shipment could be a whole boatload of missiles or other instruments of war. So Israel reacted properly to it. They just didn't execute very well. And I will never understand why in the world they sent people in there with paint guns. I mean, that just doesn't make any sense. At least load the doggone pellets up with the military equivalent of pepper spray. If it had been me, and I wanted to minimize loss of life, I would have armed them with shotguns and used stun bags. those pack a heck of a punch, and they will take down any attacker right now. But they didn't, and so now they're going to have to pay the consequences for that. Incidentally, they have another ship coming, and we'll see if they learned any lessons.
Well, I don't disagree with you that it was executed poorly.
Yep.
The PR was always going to be bad.
Yes.
Even if they executed it perfectly.
That's true.
PR was going to be bad. Frankly, myself, you know, I don't believe that they should have boarded any ships.
You think they should have just sunk them?
I think they should have just sunk them.
Yeah. Actually, I understand that sunken ships make great artificial reefs.
Yeah. You know, you can make all kinds of arguments that it's an illegal blockade. And that boarding another ship in the high seas is piracy. You can make all those arguments you want. But given the fact that Israel said the blockade exists, and it's there, and here it is, and we're willing to enforce it, the only reasonable point of view from that point is go take it to the UN.
Really?
No, I think the UN is a piece of crap. You know,
yep.
But, you know, what I equated to was, you know, somebody saying, you know, you can't just stop cars on the road because, you know, you're going to check everybody to see if they're drinking.
Police do that all the time.
They do it all the time.
Yeah.
I agree. I don't like it a whole lot, you know.
Yeah.
But, you know, what I'm not going to do if I hold that position is to, you know, gun my car and try to run through the police stop.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
The consequences thereof, you know, are pretty much going to be my fault.
Yep, exactly.
And so that's how I look at it, is the blockade's there. You can yell and scream and jump up and down about it being there, you know, but if you're going to try and run it, then there's only one natural consequence to enable blockade in a ship trying to run it.
Yep, absolutely.
Splash,
yeah.
Splash, gurgle,
yeah.
Gurgle.
Yeah, yep.
That's it.
Yeah, I know.
So I don't understand, you know, any particular, you know, I don't have any aversion to it, and I don't see, you know, Israelis would have had all kinds of, you know, hell to pay for that, but, you know, apparently, the people that were on that ship, would have been some serious headaches gotten rid of.
Oh, yeah.
So,
oh,
I,
yeah.
You know, I was thinking, you know, any action is going to be lose-lose. At least the Israelis should have gotten some win out of it. So, you know, of course,
yep.
I am a heartless, cruel bitch who believes in genocide. So, what am I supposed to do?
I know.
To you guys all the time, you know.
Yep.
Millions of people are alive today because I'm not in charge.
That's exactly right. It always amazes me that people will take an action whose consequences are foreseeable. I mean, absolutely foreseeable. And yet they will take them anyway. I mean, that just, it does not make sense to me. And I read today, and I don't remember the convention, but I read today that blockade is a legal blockade, which may be why it doesn't go to the UN, because they would then be forced to rule that, yep, sorry guys, but that's a legal one.
Well, I think it's rather interesting in as much as, and nobody's paying a whole lot of attention to this, but there's more than one country's ship in that blockade.
Not only is there more than one country ship in that blockade, but I think it's important to remember that Israel is not the only one that is blockading Gaza.
Right, that's what I mean.
Yeah. Egypt is also
that,
blockading.
Yeah, Egypt is sitting there going, no. So this is not just an Israeli blockade. This is an Israeli, Egyptian blockade.
Yep.
And I'm sure Egypt doesn't want to get itself into too much trouble, but at the same token, they're not going to let... I think that if they had tried to run the southern side, I think Egypt would have sank them.
Oh, man, talk about really hoist on your own petard then.
And I don't think anybody would have noticed except for the fact somebody's going to start complaining that a ship is missing.
Yep. And, gosh, we've got these 900 and some odd people that all of a sudden aren't answering their phone. Yeah, really. Which would be good. I mean, I read another report today that said at least 50 of those that... And it's interesting. There were 7 ships in that flotilla. 6 of them said, oops, okay, yep, no problem. We'll head on out. The 7th one is the one that caused the problems. And on that ship were apparently 50 hardcore Hamas folks who are now languishing in Israeli jails, refusing to eat and not giving their names.
See?
I thought that was very interesting. Exactly. Gee, we don't have the cost of feeding you, and eventually you'll die. That's good.
Win-win. Yeah. Would have saved all kinds of problems.
Absolutely.
And all they get out of it is a little bad PR.
Yep.
Which, realistically speaking, they get anyways.
Exactly. So where's the downside?
I don't see any downside.
Exactly.
I really don't. And this particular point in time, so the word is, from what I'm hearing, is that Turkey is really, really pissed, and Turkey's going to send another ship. And rumor has it they're going to send a Turkish frigate or cruiser with it.
Artificial reefs.
To protect it.
Yes.
To protect it. Which is really what I kind of think is, truly stupid because, Israel, I don't think, would have any problem sinking it at all.
No. I mean, they've got at least one and maybe a couple, 3 nuclear submarines off of the coast of Iraq, Iran. I don't think it would take a heck of a lot to bring one of them back.
Oh, I'd wager money that one of them's already on its way.
Yeah, I would suspect. Exactly. And at that point, if I'm the skipper of a frigate or even a cruiser, I'm looking at my hold cards because their ASW capability is nil.
I'm looking at my life preserver. That's what I'm looking at.
You bet. Goes with me everywhere, even into the showers.
I'm thinking like, I'm going to stay up on the poop deck for a while.
There you go.
I'm not going anywhere near lower levels.
No.
Weather's good. I'm staying up.
I'll take radio reports from the engine room. Thank you.
Again, it's kind of one of those situations. All right, the main thing here, and I could care less what this boat is. If they sink them, great. If they don't sink them, that's their choice. They're going to catch hell from the world anyway, so that's irrelevant. The useful fools are just going to continue to, be useful fools, and there's nothing
mm-hmm.
that can be done about that. What I'm kind of curious is what is Obama going to do if Turkey actually puts a ship in the water as an escort?
Good question.
Because if what he does, and this is what I expect him to do in that situation, if he tells Israel to stand down,
bad.
Then I think two things happen. I think that Israel and the United States, retire to their respective corners.
Mm-hmm.
And call it an evening for another 2.5 years. And then I think with a lot of cameras and a great deal of intent, Israel says to Turkey, here's the line, we will not fire a warning shot. And with all the cameras running, I think if Turkey crosses the line, I think, without a word being sent, I think Israel just, pops that ship full of holes and lets it sink right where it's at.
Yep. And then, incidentally, if there are any Israelis that are listening to this, Godspeed, brothers. You do what you have to do. We're going to rectify our mistake in another 2.5 years here.
We can't do much with Obama being busy. Being in the White House. Feel free.
Yeah.
The American people basically say, feel free. Go right ahead. No problem. But I mean, that's what, if I was Netanyahu, and I think he is in fact this way, if Obama does something stupid like tells him to stand down, frankly, I think Obama is that stupid.
Tracy, you may be right. You may be right that he is that stupid. But, one of the very first things you learn in the military is you never give an order that you know is going to be disobeyed. Ever. You don't do it. And that's about where he is.
Well, the problem is, that's right. You never give an order to your military that you know will be disobeyed.
Yep.
But he would be giving an order to another country.
Yeah, right.
To stand up.
Yeah, and this is the guy who said he wasn't going to interfere in other countries' internal affairs, right? Okay.
Hey, all I can think about is now our planet can start to heal.
Oh yeah, exactly. Which gets us right back in the Gulf of Mexico, doesn't it?
I'm going to change our foreign policy stature.
Yeah,
yes,
exactly.
You did.
Yep.
It's called bending over, grabbing the ankles, and exposing the butt.
Yep.
I believe he's that stupid. I really do. I believe he's that stupid. And worse, I think he's going to be stupid enough to do it in public.
Oh, my God. God, I hope you're wrong. Oh, Jesus, do I hope you're wrong. I mean, it's one thing with plausible deniability to privately approach them and say, look, we just simply can't allow that. It's quite another to go on the public airwaves and say, we have called upon Israel to stand down and allow those ships to proceed. I'm sorry, that just ain't going to work.
Oh, yeah. Netanyahu may not even bother waiting for the quaffle.
Exactly. As soon as that frigate or cruiser or whatever it is clears port, it's dead.
Did you ever see the movie Serenity?
No. I'm sorry. I'm a Philistine. I don't go to movies.
It is available.
Well, that's true. Okay. And if I can ever figure out how to work my DVR, I'll get it.
Okay. I'm going to set this up for you.
Okay.
Young woman comes onto a ship. Okay. not a very grisly old war vet, but a rather young, seriously, you know, seen some serious combat war vet runs the ship. This little girl is, you know, a fragile little, you know, wraith. Okay? She's an adult, but that's it. And he tries to keep her off his bridge. And at one point in the movie, he comes up to the bridge and finds her there. And he takes two steps forward, like, I'm going to take you, you know, you're coming off of this bridge. And without blinking towards him, she's looking at a computer screen, without even blinking towards him, her hand comes up at a perfect straight 90-degree angle with a gun pointed right at his face.
Oh, my goodness.
To which he pauses, takes two steps back, and goes, well, we can talk about it.
Yeah, I'm sure.
And that's what I'm thinking of with a Barack Obama. And Netanyahu's, he comes onto Netanyahu's bridge and says, I think you need to be, and I think Netanyahu just going to take a gun pointing at his face and go, I what?
Yeah.
That's what I think is going to happen. You know, there is a mentality among too many people in this world that you have to behave in a certain way to be considered to be civilized.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yep.
Which is really fine when you're at a dinner party.
And being civilized.
Yeah. Altogether different animal when you're out on the streets, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Israel right now is, you know, quite literally out on the streets.
Mm-hmm.
And for anybody to suggest that it needs to behave more appropriately has never been on the streets. And
nope.
You're right, Pammy. Obama's never been in the military. The man hasn't got a clue if they gave it to him on a card.
Not even if they printed it on his teleprompter.
You know, I said this and a fair number of people agreed with me. I'm of the mind that I was, first of all, I considered it to be insulting the fact that he wasn't going to go to Arlington this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And then I thought about it and I decided, you know, I'm actually going to be more insulted if he shows up.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, my point was that, frankly, I'm pretty much glad that he didn't go to Arlington.
Not only...
William...
I'm sorry. That was God talking, not me.
You were about ready to go off there, William. God goes, think about it.
Yeah.
Go ahead and I'll say it nicely.
No, I just, the irony struck me that he declined to go to Arlington because he was going to be delivering this address at a national cemetery in Illinois. And then he gets rained out of it. You know, and it's kind of like, yeah, okay, that's fine. So he wound
as an,
up...
Agnostic, I would suggest to you that, you know, God works in mysterious ways.
Mm-hmm.
And some gospel mysterious.
Yeah, he didn't deliver an address. Well, I guess he delivered a shortened, somewhat modified address to airmen at a base, back wherever he landed on the East Coast to go back to the White House. But he certainly didn't deliver any remarks at a national cemetery, and that's just fine by me.
Yeah.
Yep.
It is. You know, because as I was walking out the door this morning, I was thinking, you know, Barack Obama can deliver a fine speech.
Yes, he can. Well, he can if it's on the teleprompter. He doesn't do too good off the teleprompter, but other than that, yes.
I don't think he can write a fine speech.
No.
But I do think he can deliver one.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm certain there's somebody in his administration that could use the appropriate words and phrasings in a way that everybody wouldn't be snickering because Obama was actually saying them.
Exactly.
You know? Oh.
Although, I think it is interesting to note that even on teleprompter, when he is delivering his speech, there is a marked difference in his speech patterns and in his cadence and in the emotion that he shows when he's talking about a subject that he likes versus a subject that he's not. That he doesn't like.
Yeah, he's not very uniform in his delivery. And I'm not suggesting that he should be monochromic, you know, or monotonic. Is that a word, monotonic? You know, yeah, right. You should get a similar set of, you know, takeoffs from, you know, subjects regardless of how he personally feels about them. Yeah,
exactly.
He's not capable of doing that.
Yep.
Not capable at all.
Nope.
Which is kind of good in my opinion, because it clearly, in situations where we're unsure about his position, it clearly expresses his position, regardless of what he says.
Mm-hmm.
Because how he says it is going to be much more
yep.
important than what.
Yep.
Anyways, what I found rather interesting this weekend, and I actually tried to stay away from the news this weekend, as much as I could.
Mm-hmm.
What I found rather interesting was, in the amount of news that I did, the amount of other things that have been prominent news for the last couple of weeks that have just simply fallen off the radar.
Oh, absolutely.
There is no talk about primaries or races at this point.
Nope.
With the exception of one, which we will get into here just in a moment.
Okay.
No, let's just get into it.
Okay.
There is no way in hell that I believe Barack Obama and Rahm Emanuel sat down one day and went, you know, the perfect person for this would be Bill Clinton.
Yeah. Bill, I did not have relations with that woman, yes. Okay.
Because, frankly, I just look at that and go, no.
No. That's not a believable scenario.
There is no, and the idea that Barack Obama would offer a non-paying, non-important position that would require, you know, CSEC to withdraw from the House
mm-hmm.
and from the race.
Yep.
You know, I believe there are certain people that are willing to serve in the government for free.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I don't think CSAC's one of them.
No.
So, all right. I don't think there's very many of them on the left at all.
No. No.
Some people. I'm not going to debate the constitutionality of it. My opinion is that any time that the White House offers somebody a job in order to end a political race.
Mm-hmm.
I find that to be, even if it's not a violation of the letter of the law, certainly the spirit of the law.
Mm-hmm.
And they're willing to say that, in fact, that that's what they were doing. But because there was no value, there was no money, that it's okay.
Maybe.
I'm not buying it.
No, I mean, I'm not buying it either. I think you can make the argument, but I'm, you know, it doesn't say anything about being paid.
And then, of course, then I have my problem with, even if it was above board, which I don't think it is, you know, it was above board, Bill Clinton. I'm sorry. I just keep coming back to that going, okay, you know, Keystone Cop time. Bill Clinton?
Really?
And I ask, you know, my question is, you know, this goes back to the Joe Wilson affair, in my opinion. You know, this is like, you know, did Rahm call up Hillary and go, hey, think Bill could do a little something for us on the side? Okay. First of all, I can't imagine that they would ask Hillary that. And
no.
Second, if they did ask her, she said yes?
It is not a believable story. Just pure and simple, it is not believable.
It's not.
No.
And the idea that they want us to believe that it is.
Mm-hmm.
And you and I have said this before. Do they think we're idiots?
Yes.
Well, yes, apparently they do.
Apparently they do.
Apparently they do. The American people are a bunch of morons.
And so therefore we think we can lie and get away with it. Yes, indeed. Yep. I'm sorry, it doesn't pass the smell test. Clinton wouldn't do that. He might be talked into trying to pull their chestnuts out of the fire if he could do that in a way that did not harm him.
The only thing that I said when I heard that Bill Clinton was in here was that there is one and only one reason why Bill Clinton is in here is that when it goes to hell in a handbasket, they want to make sure Hillary's ruined with it.
Yep.
You know, if
although you
get
know what,
burned,
that could backfire on them real big.
Oh, I think so.
Yeah.
You know, because all Hillary has to say, and you know, frankly, this is two buses with one stone.
Yeah.
So all she has to say is, you know, no one talked to me about it.
Yep. Exactly.
You know, Bill and I, you know, we haven't been seeing much of each other, and, you know,
yep.
I'm in my place, and he's in his place, and, you know,
yep.
he didn't discuss it with me, and, you know, the president didn't discuss it with me, and chief of staff, you know, didn't discuss it with me. I really, you know, there's no reason why I should have been, you know, discussed, you know, on this particular
yep.
subject.
Yep.
So, I can't imagine why Bill would do that. I
exactly.
Certainly don't. You know, I can see she throws him under the bus, you know,
yep.
and, you know, Obama gets hung out to dry by her, too.
Yeah, exactly.
I do see this as this can be, you know, a win-win for Hillary, you know,
yep.
if she decides that she wants to do that.
Yep, exactly.
And
frankly, I'm not sure that hurts her with the party either. I mean, I think
they're having
big time second thoughts here.
I think if Hillary Clinton decides that what she really wants to do is to be Secretary of State until next March or April.
Mm-hmm.
And then become the Sarah Palin equivalent down the left.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Where she
Absolutely.
Spends the next 18 months going around and helping lots and lots of people.
Yep.
No running for her. No running
mm-hmm.
for her. 18 months helping everybody and anybody on the left get elected. You know, and she becomes, you know, the elder stateswoman on the left.
Yep.
And then Barack Obama gets his head handed to him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she writes her own ticket in whatever next, you know, Democratic administration that she wants to be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, including VP.
Including VP.
Including VP.
Yep.
You know, and I see her playing that, and she could get rid of Bill at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And it would absolutely be a positive for her.
Absolutely. Well, and that just happened with Al Gore, Man, Bear, Pig, and Tipper, apparently.
Well, you know, did you see what I said today about that?
No, I didn't. But
I think what they should do is they should call the East Anglican Research Center.
Oh, yes.
And I'm sure they can find rising temperatures in the Gore Mansion.
There you go. Yep.
Yeah.
Very good.
I can think we could find global warming in that mansion right now.
There you go. Assuming that they're both in the same one. Although, he's got enough houses that, you know, she's in one and he's in one and there's three or four more left over.
And the question becomes, you know, was this in the cards? Was him buying the California mansion?
One wonders.
You know, in the cards, you know, this is pretty close to that process.
Mm-hmm.
That the two are not related. If you believe
that,
I've got a Bill Clinton card for you.
There you go. Yes, indeed. Yes,
indeed. We have to figure out how to do that. You know, if you believe that, I've got a bridge to sell you.
Right.
And I think we need to clean up that phrasing so that we can say, yeah, if you believe that, I got a Bill Clinton,
whatever for you.
If you believe that, I've got a Bill Clinton speech you might be interested in.
Hey, there you go. Yeah. You betcha.
I got dinner for two with Bill Clinton for you.
Yeah, that's another good one. Yep.
We'll have to work on that one.
We'll have to. I don't think that the dinner for two works because obviously he sold that a long time ago. But yes, we will. We'll have to work on that and come up with something that's suitably scathing and cutting.
I'd like to see Hillary throw them under the bus.
Yeah, I'm. That would not hurt my feelings. I think that there's going to have to be kind of a unique set of circumstances in order to do that. The C-Stack thing could be it, although that's not absolutely clear at this point. I mean, the thing isn't getting any play at this point in the lamestream media. So consequently, given the Gulf and Israel, it probably isn't. And at such time as it does, if the thing heats up, it's going to be old news. Oh, no, we don't have to cover that. That's old news. Nothing to see here, folks. Move along.
Yeah, but it's one of those things where, it's death by a thousand cuts.
Yep, absolutely.
Because, right now, and I think this is a mistake some people make, he did a lot of horse trading to get health care reform put through.
Oh, boy. A bunch.
We haven't seen but a fraction of that horse trading.
Now I know, yeah.
But here's what I think is going to be rather interesting. Given the stupidity by which they have, executed some of that horse trading so far when they own Congress, what kind of stupidity are they likely to do when they're in the minority in Congress?
Oh, boy. Well, except that when they're the minority in Congress, they really don't have a whole lot of power, as we have found out to our chagrin.
Can you imagine, Rahm Emanuel taking a Republican off to the side?
Yeah, frankly, no. Well, I don't know. Maybe Olympia Snow or Susan Collins or Scott Brown. Maybe. If you're a Northeast Republican, you're kind of there.
We've only got a couple minutes left.
Okay.
I left this one alone only because it's a really minor issue.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been following it only kind of peripherally. Nikki Haley.
Oh, yeah.
Running for governor in
yep.
South Carolina.
Yep.
And somebody has come out with a accusation of infidelity.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not so much out of the blue because the story has been shopped for a year.
Mm-hmm.
On the premise that it would be put out close to the election.
Hmm.
I don't know if you've paid a whole lot of attention to this.
Some minorly, not a ton.
I bring it up only because I'm expecting that we're going to see a lot more of this year.
Yes, that wouldn't surprise me. A lot of October surprises.
Yeah, and I'm kind of concerned because, as a general rule, Republicans throw under bus first and apologize later.
Yes.
What's worse is this idea, and did we talk about this on the show last week? I don't think so. This idea that the Democrats play by a set of rules, and then when we're in charge, and I use it as a general term
right.
for the Republicans, when we're in charge, we behave better.
Hmm.
And somebody suggested last week, and I might have been before the show, so I might have said this. Somebody said that the argument was that we argued against accusing Bush of Katrina because, you know, it wasn't his responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
That there was a lot of other things going on. And
right.
now that Obama's there, many people are saying we can't blame Obama because, you know, we made the argument that we shouldn't have been blaming Bush.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
This person made the argument that, yes, we did make the argument you could not blame Bush because it wasn't his responsibility, but we lost that argument.
Yes, we did.
And because we lost that argument, the precedent has been set that, yes, the president can be tarred and feathered with this kind of crap.
Yep.
So let's tar and feather.
Yes.
And it is, in my opinion, incumbent upon us to do two things. One, not throw our people under the bus.
Absolutely.
At the first sign that somebody has made an accusation. And second, I don't have any problem but playing their rules.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's, you know, getting down to their level, only because their level became president.
Exactly.
So, you know, if we're going to play the game at their level, I think, you know, we can call it presidential politics.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, all the gloves are off in that,
yep.
in that regard.
Yeah, absolutely.
Anyway.
Yep.
That's what I have to say about Nikki Haley.
I like
30
that.
Seconds.
Oh, Mama Gurkha, Haley 5, Louisa Mond, Arkansas Traveler, Jesse Bradshaw, Just Me Pammy, thank you for listening. We certainly appreciate it. Hope you enjoyed the show.
For those of you that follow on the podcast, Green Room is in a few seconds. Bill, have a good week.
You too, Tracy.
And into the Green Room, we're
going
to play just a little bit more of that music.
Oh, yeah, I love that music. That's such good music.
Here we go. So my, obviously I'm enjoying Tull right now.
Mm-hmm. You betcha.
CJ, have we talked about her position in the orchestra? How much do you know about orchestras?
Well, played in one. Actually played in a few.
Oh, then this will make sense to you.
Okay.
CJ is a assistant concert mistress.
Whoa, really?
Has been all year.
Wow.
Two gentlemen have switched off back and forth as concert masters for the orchestra.
Mm-hmm.
She has sat second chair, first violin the entire year. Those two have swapped back and forth, first chair and second chair, first, second violin, first chair. So they've swapped back and forth around her. She's stayed where she is. There's a reason why she's been second chair, first violin all year.
And that is?
She don't want to be first chair.
Okay.
But it was hers for the asking.
Really?
All year.
Hmm.
She didn't want it. She was perfectly happy as second chair, and the orchestra director was okay with that.
Okay.
They had their final concert last week, and they did very, very well.
Good.
Her performance is considered very, very good. And next, I don't know if it's this Friday or
mm-hmm.
next Friday, the entire symphony and orchestra, there's orchestra and there's symphony in the school. The orchestra is 9th and 10th graders, and the symphony is juniors and seniors.
Wow.
There is no assistant concertmaster for the symphony, just for the orchestra. When the two play together, and they have done so once this year, and coming up soon they will be playing a second, there will be one concertmaster who will be the symphony concertmaster, and there will be one assistant concert mistress.
Hmm.
And that will be CJ.
Whoa.
So
cool.
Yeah, it's pretty impressive. So they play, I think it's, I don't know if it's this Friday. They play for graduation.
Ah, okay. Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
And the choir.
Pomp and circumstance.
I'm sorry?
Pomp and circumstance.
Yes.
I remember it well.
She said, we have to play it like 22 times.
Exactly.
Yeah.
She yeah.
Said, we're really good at it.
Yeah.
Play it over and over.
Over,
and over.
Yeah. Yep, I remember.
So, anyway, that's coming up, so we have to do that. And, you know, I just find it, her point of view at this point, I could not ask for a better point of view from a student, you know, going
mm-hmm.
through high school.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the beginning of the school year, she complained about the teacher, she complained about the material, she complained about, you know, everything. Now
mm-hmm.
she complains about other students because they are holding them back. They are making, and, you know, it's an entirely different point of view.
Yes, it is.
She made honor roll.
Good.
Which is great. So I, you know, I'm just really, really, really happy by, you know, her, what she's doing, what she wants to do, and her abilities. I mean, she is a spectacular kid.
Yep, she certainly is.
And I enjoyed the concert tremendously last week. And then, when we were getting out of the concert, she got really, really, really mad at me, and she was pissed at me for 2 days.
Oh, really?
Apparently, well, it's not apparently, I knew this was coming. Her best friend from 7th and 8th grade,
mm-hmm.
They had a falling out just before the end of the school year last year.
Uh-huh.
Part of it was because her friend got caught shoplifting.
Oh, yeah, I remember that, yeah.
Yeah, and CJ was with and really didn't like that a whole lot. Anyways,
mm-hmm.
Over the summer they pretty much fell apart. And then when the school year started, CJ didn't want to have so much to do with her, and she got off on a lot of people's bad sides.
Mm-hmm.
So she was happy to kind of pass her along. And as the school year has progressed, they've become more and more estranged as friends, to the point
Ooh.
Where they walk past each other in the hallways and don't even acknowledge each other.
Oh, boy.
Which is kind of hard because she has one class where they sit next to each other.
Jesus, okay.
Anyways, I get along with her, with this friend's father, just fine.
Yeah, sure.
And my family has a history that, you know, even in divorce, the divorced, you know, the other party on the side remains part of the family.
Mm-hmm.
Especially
sure.
if there are kids involved.
Yeah. Yeah, well.
Because my parents are pretty much onto the grandkids. But even when we were growing up, my parents, you know, the adults in the neighborhood, remember, 103 kids, the adults in the neighborhood never got into the kid fights.
Ah.
You know, the parents never took sides when the kids were having a fight. You know, the parents stayed out of it, you know, let them work it out. You know, this way the parents didn't end up in a fight between
mm-hmm.
themselves over
mm-hmm.
something that was really basically childish.
Yep.
So that's kind of my point of view. So when we came out of the concert and I was looking for somebody, some friends from the church whose son was one of the graduating seniors from the concert, from the symphony, to say hi to them,
mm-hmm.
Her dad came up to me and said hi, and we talked for a minute or two. Well, let me tell you,
uh-oh.
If looks could kill, I'd be a smoldering cinder. CJ was.
Oh, Lord. Yeah, okay.
So, you know.
Actually, that's a teachable moment.
Teachable moment.
Yeah.
She didn't buy the teaching at all.
Is that right? Yeah, she will. She will.
So,
I'm pretty confident. I mean, she is a really level-headed kid. Has lots of talent, and eventually she will understand, you know what, I don't get to pick and choose my mom's friends. and she will understand
that. Well, I kind of... There's a thought that I wanted to bring into this.
Okay.
You know, and we kind of alluded to it during the show, and unfortunately we can't. I can't make this show spread out to
right.
the places that it needs to hear. Yeah. You know, to the people of Israel, you know, we're not going to get into, you know, a pissing match because the kids.
Yeah.
You know, Barack Obama and Netanyahu
exactly.
can't get along.
Right.
You know, the country United States and the country Israel, despite what's going to go on over the next 6 to 36 months, will remain friends.
Yes. Absolutely. It's going to be a really strained friendship for a while. But...
Yeah, and you're going to, both sides are going to want to tar the other parts of the family with, you know, the behaviors of other parts. But, you know, I thought about it, and you know, I said this to her. I said, you know, when the other girl came up to stand next to her dad, I did not acknowledge her. I didn't say hi.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't even glance in her direction. I continued talking with her father. The girls were not part of the conversation in any shape, form, or otherwise.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It was strictly an adult conversation about adult issues that had nothing to do with the school, the concert, or the girls.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And as far as I'm concerned, I understand her feelings and her anger, and it's pretty much irrelevant.
Yep.
I'm not going to change my behavior with other adults simply because she has a problem with somebody else.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
You know, and my relationship with, you know, my opinion and orientation towards Israel is not going to change just because Barack Obama stomps his feet and jumps up and down and
exactly.
ears and fingers in his ears and flaps them and goes, no!
Yeah.
You know, you can have cheese puffs with that wine, and it's
yeah, exactly.
A nice infidel with that cheese puff.
Yep.
So, and, you know, other than that, I mean, it's been a rather interesting week. There's big things going on. We didn't talk about the market at all. Market is kind of trembling around 10,000.
Yep. Yep. I know.
I think it wants to drop in the worst way.
Oh, yeah.
I think the only thing that's happening right now is that people are hanging on by the skin of their nails, hoping to God something happens.
Yep,
because,
yep, yep, yep.
You know, the alternative right now is to fall off the cliff. And I don't see anything that's going to prevent the falling off the cliff part.
No, and that's a really, that's a shame. Because it didn't have to be that way. It just didn't.
No, I disagree. I think once we got to the point where we did, you know, it has to be, we have to, you know, shake things out, and, you know, all we're doing is delaying the inevitable.
Well, I understand. I guess what I'm saying when I'm saying it didn't have to be that way is that the president and the Dems could have put forth policies that, in fact, strengthened the economy rather than weakened it. So from that standpoint, the stock market was going to fall, but it doesn't have to fall as much as it's going to now, because now it's going to fall. I mean, you know, I heard somebody, and I don't remember who it was, that was talking about a 4,000 Dow. Now, I'm not sure I'm buying that. At the same time, I think you'd be a fool if you said, oh, no, that could never happen. That just doesn't make any sense. So.
Yeah, such a great time to be moving.
Yeah, really. Yep. How's that move coming? I mean, you're. Not all that great, huh?
We'll see.
We'll see. Okay.
You know, there's things to happen.
Yeah.
Whether they happen or not. You know, we're moving.
Ah.
That's kind of
okay.
We are getting rid of all the animals. I'm really surprised at that.
Really?
That was my desire. I did not want to drive, did not want to take the animals to California. As much as that, you know, bothers me and pains me, we have a dog and a cat that have been in the house for, you know, for 7 years, you know, and they will both be left behind. We'll find homes for them, and they'll be left behind, and, you know, the dachshund will be left behind, and, you know, we may have a place for there. You know, and a visa that Victoria got specifically for breeding is going to be left behind.
Wow.
You know, the advantage to that process is that it opens up tremendously our options on the other end. You know, having to go out to California with three dogs and a cat and trying to find a place to rent was going to be, you know, a nightmare.
Mm-hmm.
Going out to California with no animals whatsoever opens virtually everything to, you know, as an option.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
You know, I'm not real happy about leaving the animals, but it gives us our best shot.
Yep.
At our options. So, you know, that's not going to be fun to do over the next 3 or 4 weeks to give,
not sure
to give the animals away.
Yep.
But, you know, environmentally, they'll be just fine.
If you say so. I can't even imagine. I really can't.
You know, CJ asked me the other day over the weekend, she goes, is there anybody you're going to miss? And my answer was no. And she said, nobody? I went, no. She goes, how can you say that? And she rattled off a couple people that, you know, are regular participants in Tracy conversations. And I said, yeah, no. It's not in my nature.
Mm-hmm.
My nature is to pick up and go and continue to move forward.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I don't dismiss the people that are in my life. I don't casually, you know, toss them aside. But, you know, no matter what, you know, our lives are going to be dramatically different, you know, from this point forward. You know, there's no sense in trying to, you know, to drag somebody through.
Sure.
To hold on to something, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they won't stop being friends, you know, but, you know, I move on. I absolutely move on. So she doesn't get it because a lot of her friends are offering her basement space.
Ah, very good.
Please don't leave. You can stay with us.
But at this point, she's okay with it?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think what will happen is somewhere over the next 4 or 5 months, all three of us at some point over the next 3 or 4 months will go, oh, God, was this a fucking stupid idea?
Yeah, okay.
But I've been there before.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
we all have.
First night of basic training. You remember your first night of basic training?
Actually, you know what? I do. I do.
I think most of us do.
Yeah, yeah. I think so.
And, you know, because, you know, I had been up since 6 o'clock that morning, and here it was 3:30 in the morning, and I'm still trying to figure out where the hell I'm going to be sleeping.
Yeah.
You know, And T.I. is just absolutely ripping into everybody. 3:30 in the morning. I mean, we're all dead on our feet. You know, and she started yelling at somebody next to me. And all I could think of was, please don't look my way. Please don't look my way. Please don't look my way.
Yeah.
And while she's doing this going, God, was this a stupid idea?
Yeah.
Who the hell came up with this idea?
Yeah, right.
Whose brilliant idea was this? And then she went off in a different direction, and I'm sitting there going, brilliant. Just brilliant.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm sure you actually had that thought at some point in that first 24 hours.
Sure.
Because I think we all did. I think every person that's gone in the military who did so on, you know, on purpose and by choice has gone brilliant. Brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
Next time you start thinking, shut up!
Yeah, exactly.
Apparently you can't think very well. So, I think we'll all at some point, you know, think that it was a really, really bad idea. But at the same token, you know, I think we're giving ourselves at least, you know, a running chance at it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if we select well where we live, and by that I mean somewhere not real expensive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if we underbid ourselves, if we put ourselves in a position where, you know, we definitely can make it on the money that's coming in the door.
Mm-hmm.
You know, then I think as long as we don't stress ourselves to reach for something we shouldn't be reaching for,
mm-hmm.
You know, then we will be able to tide ourselves when we have the problems better, and then we'll have them. I know we will.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there'll be points and stuff like that. You know, but you know, we'll see. So I mean. Our personal economy is going to go through pretty much what this country's economy is going to go through.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Okay. Yep.
I just hope we don't have quite as bad as the rest of the country does.
Well, I hope you don't either. I don't think I'm going to count on that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Yep.
All right. Do you have anything that we missed that you wanted to cover? Otherwise,
nope. I'm good. We're just finer in frogs here, as the saying goes, or however that.
Okay.
Goes.
I'm going to try.
You haven't heard that before.
I'm sorry. No, I'm not.
You have no. Okay.
No. All right. You know what? I do want to bring up one thing to just talk about it for just a moment.
Sure.
You know, I did not think that a whole lot of you paid a whole lot of attention to my troll bashing going on. You know,
surprised you, huh?
Yeah, because it was one of those situations where, and for those of you that are listening to the podcast and don't know, I don't think there's very many of you, I do a fair amount of troll bashing on Twitter. And it can be pretty extreme. There's no doubt about that. There's not a whole lot. I don't have a whole lot of interaction with other people when I'm in that mode. Was it yesterday? The night before.
Yeah, I think it was yesterday.
Anyways, I hit something wrong, and instead of it going where it was supposed to, it was a general broadcast. It looked like I was yelling at myself.
Yes, it did.
Like four people said, Tracy, is that what you meant to say? And I'm like,
yeah, right. And whom you meant to say it to?
Yeah, and I'm sitting there like going, okay, there's more of you that are paying attention than I thought.
Than you thought. Actually, it was a very good rejoinder. I just didn't think you meant it for yourself.
I am good. I really am good. But sometimes, you know, it was just, you know, what happened was I saw what I needed to click on, and I went to click on it in Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the tweet deck, you know, made an adjustment just as I was doing that, and I ended up, you know, in the wrong place to do it. But you know, what I think is kind of funny is, you know, the trolls say, you know, we did a good job, we did a good job, see how good of a job we did. You know, and I don't do any of that crap. I pretty much let my comments stand for themselves. You know, and I know that objective observers will sit there and kind of go, ooh, you know. But, I was amazed. I was absolutely amazed. You know, here I am thinking that I'm yelling at somebody, you know, in a quiet little corner where nobody is paying any attention, and it turns out there was a crowd.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, it's nice.
Yeah.
You know, and it wasn't just a matter of the fact that, you know, somebody noticed something amiss. You know, you actually had to notice that there was a conversation going on, that it went awry there.
Yes.
To understand. Because it happened quickly. I mean, the four of you, you know, jump on that so quickly that I hadn't even realized that something had gone wrong yet.
Oh, really?
So,
okay. Very good.
Yeah. So, I do find it interesting that my troll bashing doesn't, you know, has its you know, entertainment value. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Do you watch it to be entertained by it, or is it just something that's passing along?
Yeah. Actually, I don't know about anybody else. I've got a column that are just buddies, and I have select people that I put in there, and you're one of them. And so when you tweet something, it shows up pretty much right now. So when I saw that show up in my column and I read it, and then I looked at who it was addressed to, I said, no, I don't think that can be right. Something's the matter here.
Do you use TweetDeck?
Yes,
or
I do.
You do.
I do.
Okay, so you're like me. I've got, how many columns do you run?
Four. I've got buddies, all friends, mentions, and direct messages. That seems to take pretty much care of it for me. And then if I see a hashtag that I'm liking what I'm seeing in the comments, I'll pull up a search on that hashtag and look at that for a little bit.
I run 9 columns.
Oh my goodness, I don't have a big enough screen to do that on.
Well, I can only see 5 at any one given time.
Ah. Mm-hmm.
But I do pay attention to the updates when they come in to see if there's something I need to jump off to.
Mm-hmm.
And I rotate 3 of those columns from in the position of 6 and 7. They
mm-hmm.
run as low as 2 or 3. And
mm-hmm.
they push back at 6 or 7, depending on what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
When I get into conversations like that, I usually move the column that's involved.
Sure.
You know, into position 2 or 3 so that it's, you know, right there in front of me.
Yep, yep.
So, and then, you know, usually there's 1 or 2 of the other columns are people that would get involved with that conversation or peripherally would be observing of that conversation.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
you know, they might be making odd comments.
Cool.
And one of the columns is me. You know,
one of my
columns is for me.
Yep.
Because, you know, my name pops up in a lot of different places, you know, outside of my conversations, and sometimes I need to track that down, you know, pay attention
mm-hmm.
to what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
you know, but I run 9 columns. It's a little bit harder when I'm not on this computer, you know, because I got the wide screen here and I can handle, you know, the 5. I've got 5 basically full columns here. Upstairs I have, you know, 4, so holding the 9 is a little bit harder to do. But I like doing the troll bashing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think I'm probably one of the better ones at doing it. you know, and not a whole lot of people can, you know, stand toe-to-toe, so.
Yep.
And I like it because it's really improving my response, both time and, you know, accuracy.
Ah.
You know, somebody says something and my response is almost immediate. You know, and that's what I want to have happen.
Yeah, exactly. Cool.
Just naturally comes out. All right, well, I want to let you go. We'll
all
righty,
kiddo. Have a good one.
You too.
Ah,
good night,
right.
Everybody.
Night.